by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
And it is the Massive Report, back again on a Monday after a, we'll just say a defeat, and we'll go from there. A lot of people around the table today, Larry Johnson, and what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Ready to talk some soccer.
Mr. Chris Lamacchia.
Hi.
In the house.
Hey.
Justin Bell, futzing with his computer once again.
God only knows what he's
doing. We'll just pretend Justin said hi, and we'll go from there. Sam, turning the potentiometers. Steve Sirk in the house, going to join us in the second segment here, and also Jim Bach here, and we'll get him on at some point and say hi to him. Well, Jim's here.
Jim's here.
Chris looked at me like I just said, and we're going to kill a kitten in the fourth segment.
We are?
Yeah. No, I just that's what that looked like to me.
Oh.
I'm just saying. So. I did the intro music here. I had Sam do the intro music, really, because I wanted to bring something up before we started talking about the Chicago game. And this is something that's concerning. And this is something, not that we haven't had a whole lot of things that are concerning recently with the club, but we've had a total of 6 goals in the last 5 matches, right? Now, if those goals are in the right order,
yes,
and they're bolstered by defense, that's not bad, right? However, 3 of them from the spot.
Yep, that would be one half, wouldn't it?
That would be one half. We've had 5 points out of those matches, and my question, I guess, to you guys to start out the show tonight. I can't talk.
It's a match.
I haven't even been drinking. That's
yeah,
the
you're
weird
not
thing.
Even
like seriously. This is as beer as I'm in tonight, and it's not,
like 1 1/10.
Yeah,
beer.
1 1/10 beer.
Half inch in there.
Yeah, half an inch going at this point. But anyway, is the crew for the points that we've gotten? Is the crew skillful, or is the crew lucky? Because we've gotten a lot of calls at this point that have fallen our way. We've got the Chicago match. Obviously, it didn't fall in our favor, but 1 PK in that match, which is the only reason we were on the board. The Houston game was a draw, and the New York game was a draw. Both won 1 PK in those matches as well. So I guess my question for you to start out the match is, kind of the question, the same old song and dance that we've been asking, what the hell is going on with this team? But secondly, is this a skill situation that we're at 5 points, or is this luck? I'm going to start with you, Larry, because you're staring at me.
You were staring at me? Yeah,
you're the smartest one here.
I was like, I think it's a case of the way they choose to play after they get the penalty kick. I mean, they've gotten them early, and so the crew like to drop back quite a bit after they get a little bit of a lead.
Yeah.
And if it's coming from a penalty kick, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence, you know, especially in the last game when they got it. How early was that? Was that the
seventh minute? Yeah.
And they kept pressing in for a little bit, and then you saw them just drop back.
Yeah.
And they're not able to transition back into an attacking type style of soccer from the defense. I don't know if they're not told to or what, but it happened. You know, Montreal was a little bit like that too, where they just sort of dropped back, and they were a little bit lucky that Montreal wasn't able to finish anything or find any space, but Chicago was.
So are all 5 of these points luck?
I don't know. I don't think they're luck.
Okay.
I mean, I think that Columbus is they're playing at their level, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's through penalty kick or open play. I think this is their level.
Yeah.
I would like to see more open play goals. But, you know, this year, I mean, off set pieces, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but from set pieces and penalty kicks, it's a little bit troubling. But I think it's, you know, as they say, goals change games. And for Robert Warzea, they really change games.
Do you think that, and I'll get to you guys in just a second, but do you think that, because I think this is a good follow-up question, you can let me know.
Okay.
Do you think that, well, fine then, be that way.
No.
Do you think, you said they're playing at their level.
Yeah.
Was this the level that you expected at
this
the beginning
year?
Of the season?
Personally?
No, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean,
I do.
I mean, it's a it is. I think that they're the way they're coached and the way they play, and especially when I saw the formation that they were lining up in to start the year with two basically essential, you know, holding midfielders.
Yeah.
You're going to play the type of soccer that doesn't get you relegated. The only problem is we don't have relegation in this league.
so I wouldn't necessarily phrase that as a problem.
Oh, God. Yeah, but thank God.
Yeah, just 08 wouldn't have happened.
You're playing soccer. the type of form, you know, the way he's playing it to try to get into the playoffs. He's not playing to win the league, which is why it was so surprising early in the year when they were talking about doing so well. The team makeup and the way they tactically play does not.
Do you think Mark McCullers, when he was talking to Garber during that press conference and said, "We're going to host the MLS Cup here," do you think that was bluster, or do you think he genuinely believed that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not close enough to the team.
Yeah,
you know, Cirque's here, and I don't see him as a soccer guy. I see him as a president, and not even a general manager.
And that's perfectly fine if it's a sales tactic. That's not.
Well,
I think it was.
I think it was part that, but he was also proud of what he was able to do in the off season.
Yeah.
So there's nothing, you know, wrong with being proud of it. But I've never heard of you know. I'm trying to think of other examples in other sports. I mean, whenever you say that kind of stuff, it's almost like you jinx yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Fair enough, Chris. What do you think? Lucky? Skill?
The refs. Thank God for the refs. MLS refs are terrible, but thank God for them. They have given us as many points as they've taken away.
Yeah.
And I think that the penalty spot is saving us. There are times, like this is this past weekend, the Chicago game is a great example, where if Odura isn't fouled there, I think he scores that goal anyway. So there are certain PKs that would have been goals anyway.
Yeah.
But still, we are almost the Columbus Crew is almost relying on getting the calls.
Yeah.
There's the argument, I saw it around the interwebs, that Aduro flopped on that call. Whether he flopped or not, we got the call, and thank, you know, the deity of your choice that we did.
Yeah.
It wasn't a foul.
It was not. No, it wasn't a foul.
It wasn't a foul.
We know it wasn't.
Whether it was.
Wait, Sam just showed us photographic proof.
Well, and that's the thing.
There's a good chance it wasn't. But
that's the thing. And Oduro had a choice there. He could have hopped over Sean Johnson and finished the goal, or gone to ground and taken the chance that the ref will give him a PK. And he chose to go to ground and take that chance.
Yeah.
Whether that's the right or wrong decision on his part, I am in no position to say. But
do you think that's why he bought everybody Papa John's today?
No, he planned that on Thursday.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I'm just checking.
But
he knew he was going to try.
But that's a great microcosm for the way the season's going. Is I don't want to say that the team has made a decision to rely on getting the calls, but they are relying on getting calls.
It looks a little bit like, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but a little bit like 2011, where the team looked like they were doing really good, but there was a lot of red flags, like a lot of penalties and stuff like that.
Yes. Mendoza had how many goals?
It was insane.
Yeah.
Mendoza had a lot of goals, but most of them were from PKs that he stole from other players.
True. That's very true. But people were looking, were focused on the results.
Yeah.
And the Crew didn't have that earlier this year, but now they're getting it.
I would like the luxury this year of being focused on the fact that we're getting results, though. I mean, that's the whole thing. At the end of the day, if these PKs, if these penalties were hitting, and we were getting enough of them to actually bring us into the win column, or at least bring us into the draw column on some of these games, I would like the luxury of being like, why aren't we scoring? Why aren't we scoring in the run of play?
You know what?
I don't care. We're still winning, but why aren't we scoring in the run of play? I would rather be having that conversation right now.
You just summed up exactly what sucks about 2013 in Columbus with the Crew, is that we would like the luxury of scoring goals.
Yeah.
Every except for DC and Toronto, everyone else in the league just assumes that their team is going to score a couple of goals per game. It may not be enough to beat the team that they're playing, but they assume their team is going to score goals. We cannot make that assumption.
I have no idea.
That is a luxury for us.
I have no idea. Justin, we've been leaving you out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my bad, buddy.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, so what do you think? Lucky?
I think this is as good as the team can play right now.
Uh-huh.
So if that means that it's skill, then I guess that's skill.
Yeah.
I mean, we did. We got a fortunate call on that PK, but that penalty kick. I'm sorry, Chris, from Perth, Australia. on that penalty kick, but we also, the ref missed a blatant handball by Jeff Florenzen at the end of the match. That would have tied it. And you give some and you give some and you get some.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, that's part of Robert's, I think, game plan though, and it has been since 2009, is that we win matches off set pieces.
Yeah.
And
shoot at their arms, boys.
Penalty kicks. Yeah, corners, free kicks. I mean, that's part of the plan. And I think part of it is that the fact that we can't look, goals in the run of play would be great. That's a great part of soccer. It's fun to watch. It's productive. It's creative. It's enjoyable to watch. There was a moment in this match where the person who is being called our MVP so far this season is Dominic Oduro.
Yeah.
Because he scored 7 goals.
Well, was that because he scored 7 goals or because Twitter said so today?
Because Adam Jardy asked Twitter and Twitter responded.
Yeah, that is Dominic Oduro.
But he's arguable. That's not an
unfair award at this point in the season. No.
But there was a moment late in the match that I just kind of, when I was watching the game for the fourth time today, that I just...
For the fourth time?
Yeah, I've watched it 4 times.
God, somebody should take, we put you on suicide watch?
Yeah, seriously. Somebody take his DVR on it.
Seriously.
It's crazy. Yeah, Jim Bach is back there kind of giving me the crazy sign.
Justin's sitting there with a handle of scotch like, I'm going to watch this again and maybe they'll win.
But the thing is like you start to notice, when you watch it multiple times, you start to notice little details, the little things.
Yeah.
And there was a moment at the end of the match where Dominic Oduro has, and I did some screenshots, and I wish this was a video podcast because I could show everybody just how amazing this is. He's attacking from the right side of the goal, and he has oodles of space.
Uh-huh.
Just like he doesn't need to be freaky fast to do something with the amount of space that he has there. And there were 7 Chicago defenders in front of him, and they were all watching him, all ball watching. They were in the box. Plus the goalkeeper, Sean Johnson, ball watching. He had 4 different options that he could have played a pass to that would have given the Crew a shot on goal. He decided to play the ball directly. I don't know what. He kicked the ball straight into the side of the net.
Yeah.
And to me, that sums up what this team brings.
Well,
that is the talent level of this team. Dominic Oduro is a goal scorer. He's a fast player. He's not a finisher. And he's not the kind of player who is going to create the chance that needs to be created in the 91st minute of a game where you're down 2-1 at home. He's not that player. He's a player who's going to go straight a goal. That's it. And he does not have that talent aspect that we need to have with a player with the ball in that position. So I guess that's what I'm saying is, like, I think this is the level that our team can bring in a game against a pretty evenly matched opponent.
So is as good as it gets, is that essentially competing for the 5th playoff spot?
Yeah. And I think we're in a lot of trouble. Because Chicago is an okay team.
Yeah.
But they're getting better.
Yeah.
I think Dili Duca was really impressive in this match at a lot of different times. And it's not always with the ball. I think when he was in Columbus, he felt the need to create with the ball only.
Yeah.
And you see in that what he's done in just this few weeks playing for Chicago is he's creating away from the ball.
Yes.
That run that he had where he scored the goal, he sought out space between Williams and I'm trying to think, was it Chad Marshall who was on the other side? Maybe it was Tyson Wall.
It was Tyson Wall, but he
got off of Williams' shoulder really well.
Yeah.
And Williams just completely lost him. Just didn't have a clue where he was. And, you combine that with the fact that we have Chad Barson on the left playing defense against Joel Impair, who just ate him alive.
Yeah.
When you combine those two things, what you have is a goal-scoring opportunity. And you have a player who finished a goal-scoring opportunity. It's not what we have. We don't have that. I think there were moments where, you know, Higuain played some really smart, beautiful balls. The one that he played to Bernardo Honor at the end of the match, 82nd minute, I wrote down. I wrote it in all caps. Higuain to Honor, beautiful ball. And Honor struck it great, just perfectly, but it was off, just off. And, you know, I'm glad that Bernardo Honor is playing now because I think he's a player who can play with Higuain.
Yeah.
But he's just a little bit off. And so...
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's our talent level.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back in the fourth segment, actually, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more because we've got a lot of other stuff to get to. Steve Cirque next on the next segment. We'll be talking about the Kansas City game in the fourth segment, and that's when we'll talk about what we need to do. It's coming back. It's the Massive Report. And we're back on the Massive Report. No idea what we're doing there. Wait, what? Your mic's not on. Go ahead. Yeah, your mic's on.
I know the song. Who's the band, Sam?
Can't Prevent Beethoven.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Can't Prevent Beethoven.
Okay,
yeah.
I know the song.
Yeah.
I just didn't know the name of the band.
David Lowery is so obsessed with making sure that he makes every penny. If you look at his Facebook, off of every single time his music's played, I know I'm going to get sued for playing that.
Cool.
It's going to be fantastic.
Cool. Well, hey, if we need
it's
to.
It's going to be awesome.
We can cover it ourselves because Sam plays fiddle. So
he does.
We're good.
Yeah, no. Sam covered that. That was not, and that was Justin singing.
Yeah.
And it was a cover song. And David Lowery did not write that, so we're good
not.
To go. That was just a very accurate cover song. So from Hendock's Pub, live via tape delay, it is the Massive Report. And a couple of cool things tonight. First of all, we have the Supporters Shield here.
Yes,
hi,
we do.
Supporter Shield.
Hi, Supporter Shield.
Yeah.
It never responds.
We'll see you sometime, I'm sure.
Yeah, pictures will follow. That's pretty awesome. It's cool that they're doing the whole Supporter Shield tour.
Right.
I'm actually a huge fan of this. It's a brand new Supporter Shield.
Mm-hmm.
It looks way more like a shield than the last one did.
It doesn't look like a shield, Matt. It is a shield.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It just needs arm straps to hold against
dragons. I feel like I should
fight
off like a horde of barbarians with it, quite honestly.
And
we should have just brought that into the Chicago section and just thrown it like Captain America.
It's heavy enough to do
see
that.
See what happened. It would be fantastic.
45 pounds.
I'm actually glad no one did that because that would have been really tragic.
I'm not. That would have been
hilarious. That's just what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just what I'm saying. So $2.
Yeah, no, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And yes, it's going around the country. It's going to D.C. next.
It is.
And D.C. will get it when they freaking get it.
Yeah.
The guy wanted me to like hurry up and get it to him.
Yeah, good luck.
And I said, no. Well, you'll
no,
get
we'll
it.
We'll pay for Saturday delivery.
Yeah.
We'll pay for it. You get it Saturday morning. It's fine.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Maybe you'll get it after you go to the tailgate.
And if I can find 45 pounds worth of knickknacks around my house to fill the case with, I may ship an empty box to D.C.
We should totally steal it.
Why don't you just get like a bunch of old metal shards and then send it in a box like you can't
bust
it up?
Right.
You're like, I don't know what happened.
That's a really good idea.
Columbus ruins everything. All right. So anyway. We have a guest this
Hubcaps,
segment.
Yeah.
I don't want to continue, but I do want to say real quick, 7 o'clock every single Monday night, $2 drafts. Come on out and join us. It is Hendock's Pub, and this is the Massive Report. Steve Cirque here with us. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
We were not intentionally ignoring you. We just tend to ramble every once in a while.
Well, I know. I mean, you're talking about the Supporter Shield.
So. You are. You're going to talk about it. No, you're going to talk about it for 17 minutes.
Oh.
Go.
it is heavy. It's almost as heavy as the Trillium Cup.
It is.
It's ridiculously heavy,
too. Yeah, it's like 45 pounds.
It looks like it's like a plastic thing you'd get in at like just a trophy store. No, not at all.
No, that's the Eastern Conference Championship Trophy from 08.
Yeah, no, that thing really does weigh like...
Wait, that actually exists?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
Oh, yeah, the little mini trophy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I forgot about that.
The Trillium Cup is ridiculously deceiving.
Well, the Trillium Cup is made out of solid trillium.
Wait,
and
flowers? It's made out of flowers?
No. Trillium is the hardest substance known
I thought that was tritium.
To MLS.
Oh, to MLS.
Well, the Trillium Cup's so heavy that Toronto didn't even want to bring it down last year. They were like, because they didn't know if the crew would clinch it the first time Toronto came down.
Their equipment manager was throwing his bag out, loading it into the bus. That's what happened.
They didn't want to bring it down, have us not clinch it, then have to take it all the way back and then bring it back down.
And they're going
to
pay for extra airfare for it.
And it's radioactive, too. Trillium is highly radioactive.
We should have the Beryllium Cup with someone. Just like you win it, your teeth start falling out. That would be fantastic. I'm just saying. Somebody really liked that. I can't even say there's
I think that's Jim's better half.
Okay, yeah. No, I couldn't tell who it was.
I didn't see Verdon over there.
Yeah, I couldn't even see who it was. So.
But she liked
Steve,
your joke.
Welcome to the show.
Now, the thing that it's holding it up, did that come with it?
Yeah, that came
with it.
It's
made of adamantium.
And here's how awesome Chicago fans are. That stand that it's on is in the bottom of the case. Chicago fans had it for 3 weeks, right? They didn't discover the stand that it's on until the day before they brought it to Columbus.
Wow.
And it's been in the bottom of the case the whole time.
Well, that,
so
you'll
so
have
how
the,
were they displaying it?
They were just holding it. They would just lay it on a table.
They punched a hole in the top of it and hung some string.
You'll have that
like
when
a Flavor Flav clock.
right.
When your first inclination is to use it as a Coke mirror, I mean...
Whoa. Miami's not in the league anymore.
My first inclination was to eat lunch off of it, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I saw it was your Arby's. Was it your Arby's?
It was Arby's. It was totally Arby's. Yeah, the photos are on my Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I'm probably going to eat dinner off of it again tonight.
Actually, I just ate at Arby's last night, and I just got a normal plastic tray. I thought that was a thing.
See, if you go to the Arby's on Sawmill Road, they give you the supporter shield with your dinner. So you can...
How did you not eat like Ray Ray's or Dirty Frank's?
No. Tonight I'm gonna get some Columbus, like actual Columbus food.
Yeah,
and it's because I live in the burbs. There's nothing up there other than Arby's.
Yeah.
But you know, here on campus in
Austin
Town,
that's your own damn fault.
I'm gonna get some very Columbus centric food for it and do that. Either Mikey's. I was thinking about Cat Singers tomorrow for lunch and do that.
Nice. Do you have like extra wet naps to clean it?
I've got Windex.
Spill stuff on?
It's fine.
Okay.
And even still, it's going to DC. I'll leave it all greasy. Who cares?
Yeah. We'll just cover it in a layer of pizza grease.
Mikey's. We'll cover it in slut sauce.
Cover it in slut sauce and just rub like a couple of slices of pizza.
I just heard slut sauce and rubbing and
wait a minute.
I don't know what you guys are doing with
this. You've never had slut sauce before?
Oh.
You've never been to Mikey's Late Night Slice?
No.
Steve,
you're the modern-day Columbus troubadour, and you've never been to Mikey's Late Night Slice?
I have not.
This is my hard-hitting interview question of the day. No, but I'm just saying, it's fantastic. It's pizza by the slice, and it's like right up there. It's like three blocks away. It's really
good. Follow me on the way out.
You should try to do this. So let's talk about the crew for a few minutes.
Yeah, let's try.
No, you write these awesome articles. It's Cirque's Notebook, and I guess the first question that I have really to kind of start this thing out in earnest as Chris jostles with his microphone.
Hey, somebody's got to do it every week.
Well, yeah, you suck at everything. So I know this has been going on for a while now, but how did this kind of come about, I guess? A lot of people don't know, so I want to kind of figure that part out first.
The notebook itself?
Yeah,
or
the notebook itself. Yeah.
Well, the notebook itself started, so I think it was my third year covering the team.
Yeah.
And it was just the first game of the season. Actually, the week before, we opened the season in Tampa, and I kind of essentially did a notebook, but it wasn't called that. I forgot. I just made some title for it. But then the first home game, that was the game that Robert Garcia scored the free kick against San Jose in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Legendary game. And just when it was over, Shane Murphy was going to write the match report, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, I'll just bumble around and kind of ask dumb questions. And I remember... San Jose was coached by Lothar Osiander at the time, and this was when the Miami Fusion were starting, and they had a promotion it was when the Lothar Matthäus.
Okay.
It was his first year in MLS, and in New York was opening the season in Miami, and they had like this promotion. Anyone named Lothar got free admission.
So like seven barbarians showed up.
So, and I just remember, Lothar Osiander standing out in the tunnel, you know, doing his press interview or whatever, and I just asked him, I was just like, so, like, are you going to Miami tomorrow to get your free, you know, your free ticket? And he just looked at me, and I remember Craig Mers just looked at me, he's just like, did you really just ask that?
So
I don't know, I just kind of started slapping together, I just asked dumb questions and slapped together random bits, and I mean it's kind of like the sort of stuff I used to love reading, like when I was a kid. Like I used to love, like, in the newspapers, like Sunday, in the Sunday paper, like they would have like the those huge like baseball notes columns that would have, you know, little tidbits of news or little like statistical factoids or little just little anecdotes and things like that, and I used to love reading those growing up. And so I just decided I would kind of do the same sort of thing, and they've just gotten progressively longer.
It's just become over the years. It's become this like, sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, like the first one, I think I'd go back if I read the first one, it was like maybe, I don't know, 1,100 words maybe.
And now you're at 11,000.
Well, they're not that. Well, the MLS Cup one was. But most of them are, yeah, they're probably.
The MLS Cup one was a book.
Yeah, it was.
Literally.
A good book.
It was a great book. I made my girlfriend read that when we started dating, by the way.
Yeah. It's required reading.
No, it really is. We started dating, and she went to her first crew game was the game that the reserves, her first crew experience.
Oh, God.
Was the reserve match where HSH bought the cup for the reserve team, and they proceeded to get kicked out of the game. That was her first crew experience, and she automatically fell in love, as one will do if that's your first crew experience.
Right. My favorite part of that was I was the only one that actually got my alcohol smuggled into the game. So I was sitting there, and all these people were very upset at me because I was drinking out of a flag.
So we get back to her place, and we had only been together for a couple of months at that point. And she asked me, so what's can you explain this whole crew thing to me? And I started to explain, and I was like, wait, just read this book.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she read it cover to cover or just read selected passages from it, but I know she read the MLS Cup one. I know she read the one about the Eastern Conference Final, but yeah, I made her read that because that's the best way to get acquainted with the actual Columbus crew is to read your book, A Massive Season. Oh.
Is it still available?
Yeah, it's available at Amazon.
Amazon.com.
The print run.
There we go. He didn't even want a book plug tonight. No, he'd do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I did a print run that we sold through the crew store.
Yeah,
through the crew store. But that print run that I did sold out, but they're still available on Amazon.
And awesome. I think there are still six or seven copies left at the crew store, aren't there? I know one of my buddies picked one up last weekend. Not the Chicago game, but the home game before that.
Yeah, I think they found a couple. Yeah. Like in the
yeah, somebody in the somewhere back. Found a, you know, Duncan moved all his stuff out of Mark his office McCullers. And found four or five boxes.
Mark McCullers had like five or six propping up his desk. Right. So, you know, it's one of those things. So non-MLS Cup season, favorite crew memory?
Oh, that's a great question, man.
I know, that's why I said
because you rule out the one automatic answer.
Yeah, no, I know.
See, we talked about this the other day, though. Didn't we talk about this the other day? Like... And it came to your mind like that.
Which one?
Is the 2003 season, right?
Well, yeah, the 2000. I mean, I know a lot of people don't necessarily have a fondness for that season. it was a year after we won the Open Cup, and you know, all the preseason predictions. It was going to be, you know, Crew versus Galaxy for MLS Cup, and you know, we still had all our original guys, and we still had, you know, McBride and Clark and Mays and all those guys, and it was Frankie's first year. But that season was just a lot of fun for me because we had you know, obviously Duncan in you know, Duncan being Duncan, Brian Dunseth was still here, and those two would just rip on each other like every single week. So,
oh yeah,
they would just go back and forth, and even Dante, even though Dante wasn't on the team that year, he was down in Virginia Beach. He got, you know, released in preseason or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was playing Virginia Beach, but he was still pretty much involved. You know, I get in all these like little smack talk. I wasn't involved, but you know, I would get Dunny and Duncan, you know, just going back and forth. Because I think Dunny stayed with Duncan during preseason, and so they just started like making fun of the living arrangements. And,
that would be,
and just every week, and we called it like crew cribs. And so then like every week they would just go back and forth. And then I got like Dunny's mom emailing me, like, just, oh, it was hilarious. It was a really fun summer, even though the season did not go so well. And that's when Dunny got traded too, and then he came back and scored that goal for Dallas. Yeah.
As players who are traded,
as we saw this weekend. Right. But that was weird because he even said like, oh, wait until you see when I score this weekend. And I was just like, no, the guy's like scored like two goals in his career, you know. And then Dallas has this counterattack, and I'm watching Dunny run up the field. I'm like, are you kidding me? And of course, it's like a perfect cross, and he just buries his header. I'm like,
that's how we get Danny O'Rourke to score.
Right. We trade him.
We trade him.
Danny O'Rourke is not going to score an MLS goal until he doesn't play for Columbus anymore.
Yeah, no, totally.
Danny O'Rourke scores for Chivas.
You know, and I like Danny enough that I would willing to totally.
I would be very upset if we traded Danny.
Well,
I like Danny. So, did you have
I was going to say kind of along those lines. I mean, we had that happen this week too.
Yeah,
so
right.
Do you, when that happens, do you, what's your gut feeling? Because you have, you know, this passion for the crew, but then you get to know these guys better than almost anybody else in, well, anywhere.
Yeah.
And who writes about soccer. So what's your initial thought when that happens? When Dilly Duca scored, what was your
thought? I mean, I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. Even when Dunny scored that game, I mean, Dunny's a great guy, but even when he scored, I'm like, you know, this is our playoff positioning that, you know, go out the window. So, yeah, I mean, I wish them all
the best.
Well, when they go away, yeah.
But not against Columbus.
You know, like when Moffitt scored against us last year, you know, I was just like, I was just sending emails. I'm like, what are you doing?
Who hasn't? Like,
why did you trade recently?
Like, why did you do that?
Yeah. Bruner scored for Portland.
Bruner,
yeah.
Moffitt.
The year he got taken.
Yeah, Bruner.
Jason Gary's the only one who really hasn't.
Yeah.
Jason Dick.
Brian
he hasn't
Carroll
scored
has.
Against us, has he?
Brian
we didn't trade him, but still.
Well, yeah, but we let him go for a bag of golf balls, and he came back and paid us back. Brian Carroll.
Martino.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. We just need to just sign everybody to our youth academy. Just forge their birth certificates
or
something.
You're still really close with a lot of the guys from those old teams, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say very close. I mean,
you keep in touch.
But I mean, every now and then we might swap an email or something, but it's not like... You know, it's all my weekly phone call with, you know, Brian Carroll or Steve Lenard.
You don't leave the office on Tuesdays and call up Kyle Martino and just chew the fat for 30 minutes while he, you know, waits for a flight back to Salt Lake.
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, there goes my question.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine.
It's my journalism right there.
So, player not from New Zealand, that is your favorite to interview or to talk to, and give me a story.
I don't know. There have been so many. One of the things I think we've been fortunate with in the crew is just that it just seems like year after year we always seem to get, you know, just good guys, funny guys, you know, friendly guys. And it's been that way for as long as I've been doing this. I go back to, you know, my very first day ever covering the crew, like back in 1998, and I had to. You know, I didn't know anybody, and I was actually writing for this magazine called Michigan Soccer News that ended up dying later that year. But my assignment was basically to just kind of cover Brian Mazenov because he's from up in Michigan. And I mean, the very first time I met him, like the PR guy introduced me to him, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, hi, nice to meet you." Just gave me his phone number. He's like, "Call me if you ever need anything." And I was just like, "What the hell? You know, like, what is going on here?" And so it just seems like every year we always just kind of. I mean, Dante Washington was probably the first one when the notebook started to kind of get it and just give me goofy answers. Like when I would ask him crazy questions, he would just play along with his very straight face, deadpan way. And it just, you know, just year after year, it just seems, new guys. I mean, obviously Duncan, and Dunny when he was here.
You're not allowed to answer, Duncan.
Okay.
We're still a little upset. We'll be okay in like a week, but we're still upset.
It's going to take me at least 6 months.
But it just goes on. I mean, like G-Bomb, like, he's
right. With
incredible.
The
drafts. And Matt Lampson's kind of stepping into this role, right?
Like, Lampson is hysterical. I don't know, just over the years, it's really hard to even say a favorite because there's just been so many that have been just funny guys.
Matt and I are signing
back and forth. This is,
I don't know what was happening.
No, this is you continue to talk. And
Matt
then,
and I are
then,
communicating with our eyebrows.
This is how we determine who asks the next question. So, Sloan and the Keepers, your take.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. I'm just saying. That's all I wanted to ask. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
My question is a follow-up to Matt's previous question. The one that was a good question, not the Sloan and the Keepers question.
Hey, I hate you, Chris.
Not counting the current team because they're still developing and getting to know you.
This is their job. Like,
it's responsibility.
It really is.
Yeah, they need to be more responsible in getting to know Steve.
Part of being a professional is getting to know Steve, sir.
Yeah, it's responsibility. How we should determine the land.
There's a class for draft picks. It's called the Steve Cirque Orientation.
Well, they don't know who's going to teach that now because Duncan's gone.
Cirque 101. But Frankie could.
Frankie
could.
Who's one guy from past clubs, you know, maybe has moved on, who you wish you could have gotten just a little bit more out of? Like, you know that underneath everything he's hilarious or has great stories, but never really opened up to you.
I don't know anyone that's like withholding. I'll say an obvious one, just because I think a lot of people that way. I mean, Kirker, so obviously.
Yeah. Right.
Just the more I've, you know, learned about him and got to hear about him, I mean, I have no doubt that
he would have been a gold mine.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just would have got along, you know, really well, and he's a really funny guy. Alejandro Moreno is another one where I feel like I didn't get to know him as well as I probably, you know, mm-hmm. could have or should have. And even after he left, you know, we would trade emails a lot and stuff. And, you know, I was kind of, man, I wish I would have, you know, gotten to know this guy more because, you know, he's a pretty bright guy. And, yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, because, there's a lot of guys like that, though, that, you know, I don't have, like, a ton of time with the guys. I'm not going out to training every day. I'm not. So pretty much I kind of have, like, this little half-hour window. You know, every 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, and you know, sometimes it's great. Guys are hanging around and happy, you know, after they win. You know, maybe sometimes you go in there and half the team's already gone, or you know, so it's not like I get to spend a ton of time. So, you know, I don't necessarily get to know every single player, you know, all the time.
So, Chad Marshall, good guy for serious. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had
he smells bad.
Well, no, because his last Cirque's notebook was entitled "Chad is a nice guy." And I just want to make sure
the one before was
Chad is a mean guy.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that you weren't leading us astray with the Chad is, because Chad is very straight laced and buttoned up and you know all that. And you have a certain insight, and I can see Chad taking over the Duncan's introductions thing in my head.
I've already got a replacement line.
I'm sure you do, and I'm sure it's not Chad Marshall. I'm probably way off bat base.
It is not Chad.
No, is it Andy?
You
don't want to answer.
You're not giving away state secrets
or
anything. Yeah. What position does this person play?
I'll bet it's a goalkeeper.
We do have probably like the
or
funniest
essential
goalkeeper.
Defender.
We probably have the funniest goalkeeper trio ever assembled.
Oh my god! I know.
Sean. Yeah.
I mean, even Withrow, like, if you spend any time talking to that guy, he's
oh, yeah,
hilarious.
Me and Daniel, we every Tuesday night, we go out for some sauce. It's great.
Hey, buddy.
All three of them are just hysterical. I just can't imagine there's ever been a funnier goalkeeper trio. And so it's great that they have a band.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that.
They get to express it. The people one was...
Well, my favorite is the tribute to the Cruisers, mm-hmm. which was just... And the best part about that is that they obviously write these songs on the fly.
Yeah.
Somebody writes these songs on the fly. And they have some producer that does this. And then whoever is the vocalist for that week's production reads it off a legal pad.
Yeah.
Which is just great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Very, very professional.
It's awesome.
Fantastic. I want them to actually open for the USA-Mexico game here.
I want them to open for
the night
us.
Before. Well, then, that would be even more.
Right?
Even
get
better.
Him in here. Maybe they should open for Flogging Molly.
Holy crap! That would be amazing!
That's not very responsible.
It's not very responsible. Because they had a game that night, and they'd have to change.
I don't think any of them makes the 18.
Andy does.
Yeah. That would be the next...
Ever hear that guy?
Yeah. That might change everyone's views on Robert Orzea right there.
If Andy doesn't make the 18,
there's no goalkeepers in the starting 18.
Yeah. No,
and Eddie's hurt.
Yes.
And Eddie's hurt.
So that's what we do. But I have one question that's kind of... I think after 2000, the changes in 2011 and then what happened after that kind of got lost was the fact that we had on our team the all-time leading goal scorer in the history of the league. And he not only played for us that year, he played for us years and years before, and you were covering him back then. So one question that is interesting to me is how did he change from 2000, say, 2004 to 2011? Of course, the person I'm talking about is Jeff Cunningham, Barry Bonds.
I kind of deduced that from the all-time leading scorer thing.
Okay.
I kind of ran through
there
the record book in my
it's
head.
It's not Santiago Prim. We're not talking about him.
Some people looked confused in the people.
Leandro Graffi, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, the first time through, I mean, Jeff was always a very fun guy to cover because he was... he could get wound up pretty easily. And Shane Murphy, who used to do the crew site, was an expert at winding Jeff up. You know, like Jeff would score like two goals, and Shane would just with a straight face just start asking me, like, yeah, so what about that breakaway you blew in the... Like, it would be like his opening question. He'd be like, what? I scored two goals? And he'd be like all like fired up. Jeff seemed a lot mellower his last time through.
I remember you saying the last time you were on the podcast, which was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
Right.
In a secret
location. I wasn't even here.
No. That was before y'all's time. Steve and I are going to get in the Wayback Machine for a second. That Jeff had matured quite a bit, and he had calmed down and become, a more mature player, but also a more mature person.
Well, I mean, I think back to like that time that Mendoza stole that penalty kick from him. Like, Like the previous exactly. iteration of Jeff Cunningham
would have clocked him in the face.
Pretty much.
I would have liked to see that. I mean, seriously, in that exact moment, I would have liked to see him just clock.
I would have liked to
see
Robbie Rogers do when he stole it from Robbie.
Even when we were in Seattle when he set the record, you know, mm-hmm. on that penalty kick, and I remember, you know, I was like, all right, you know, okay. That, I mean, that game was just a disaster.
That was garbage. Oh my god,
it was a fun kind of a disaster. I mean, not for the guys, obviously.
It was fun for me.
But it's like, you know, if you're going to have a disaster game, I mean, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I figured, you know, going in, I was like, okay, well, at least we got this, you know, cool thing to kind of take away from it. And I was kind of curious how, like, Jeff was going to be. But, like, in the locker room, I mean, he was speaking in, like, in very hushed tones. Like, you know, really? You know, clearly in front of his teammates, you know, he wasn't going to...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got the record.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, things like that. Which, you know, maybe younger Jeff might have done. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually we got him out in the hallway, like away from the team, and, you know, he kind of talked about it a little more. But you know, when he was, like, around the team, you know, he was very... Yeah, so, I mean, it was just things like that I saw. And then I know some of the younger guys say, you know, he used to stay after practice and work with them. And,
I remember that. There was... was it Aaron Horton that he stayed after with and took free kicks with?
Yeah, and
it was like for an extra hour, and Aaron Horton was just floored by it to be working. And it was one of Aaron Horton's first practices,
yeah.
And Jeff like kind of grabbed him like, "Hey man, let's take some extra kicks." That would be an amazing opportunity.
When I heard that. Yeah, no,
like, this is really an amazing thing. Oh. I mean, one of the things that I think would have been cool is if we would have had a parade for him. And why didn't we do something like that?
No, he would have, and they actually tried to do more things to kind of honor him, like during that, and he was just like, no, like it's like it's about the team, like he did. So yeah, it was kind of a.
It's nice of him.
Kind of a.
But I want
to measure him as a guy. We should do it for now.
And
let's
I
do
a
parade for Jeff Cunningham.
You know, and I didn't really get to have as much like goofy fun with him like the second time around because I mean he was like just kind of focused.
He was here on business.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't quite as brash. I mean, early in the season, I remember someone brought cupcakes or something, and he's like, "Oh, you know," he's like, "I can't eat this cupcake," and he handed it to me. And I was like, "He's like, here, have a cupcake." I was like, "Okay," and then like a second later, he's like, "Wait, man, someone made that for me." Like, I was like, "I can't do that." Someone made that cupcake for me, and he like, took it back. I was like, "All right,
well,
like,
thanks for stealing my cupcake, Jeff."
Well, since you're BFFs with all the former players, have you talked to Jeff lately? Do you know what he's up to? Does anybody know what Jeff is up to these days?
He was in San Antonio.
Was he?
Yeah.
I hope
to God that he's still, you know, playing soccer and doing his thing and teaching the kids. Because, you know, with a guy like that...
He's a hell of a guy.
Yeah. I mean, I only talked to him two or three times, but he was always very, very cool. Very, very accommodating. Even to a rookie writer like myself.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
When
you're
I
still
to
a
him.
Rookie writer.
Yeah, I am.
You know, there's that thing. So, Steve Sark, appreciate you coming out, man. Thank you so much.
Good time.
Yeah, we're going to come back here in a little bit, talk about Kansas City away. We're going to talk about the new Cleveland supporters group. A lot of stuff coming up. It's the Massive Report. Report. Thanks again to Steve Sark for showing up. That was pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about him like he's gone.
I didn't realize he was still here, but I'm going to give him a round of applause.
No. You know, he's been out three days in a row.
I just caught him in a mirror, which proves he's not a vampire.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Oh. I'm just saying.
He's a real guy.
I mean that in a positive way.
He's a real boy.
I really do.
I know.
So a couple of things, first of all, that I wanted to plug in the third segment, because that's really when we plug things. First of all, the brand new Cleveland supporters group, the Burning River Battalion,
which is a brand new thing.
Is it battalion or brigade?
It's battalion.
Okay.
It is battalion. It's not the Buckeye Brigade.
No.
It's a different thing.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah, no, that's what the official email from Josh Rudin says.
I'm only checking.
Yeah, it's they're going to be doing their first away watch party this Saturday.
In Cleveland.
1415 Euclid Avenue in Playhouse Square.
216.
It's going to be at Parnell's Irish Pub. They're not sure what the drink specials are yet, but there will be drink specials.
There are going to be drink
specials.
And if
you live in Cleveland and you listen to this show, you should be supporting them and you should go up. And if you don't live in Cleveland, well, if you live in Akron, maybe go. Something like that.
Totally good.
Road trip.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Or road trip. One of the two.
I'm really happy that we have a supporters group in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I'm going to support them. I'm also very disappointed they're not called the Factory of Sadness Workers or something along those lines.
Burn on, Big River. Yeah.
Sadness
Burn
Factory
on.
Workers or something.
We
like
should have
that.
Started with that.
The Factory Sadness Crew.
Yeah. The Factory Sadness Crew. There That's fantastic.
Randy Newman?
I am doing Randy Newman.
Yeah.
Burn on, Big River.
Wow.
Burn on. The Lord can make you tumble.
Are you going to do
it? The Lord can make you tumble. The Lord can make you crumble. But the Lord can't make you bone.
What's the from the Family Guy Star Wars where Chris kills him with the? Yeah, I'm totally gonna do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wish I had a lightsaber right now.
That's fantastic.
Who
That's
are you
a great
that?
Idea.
Matt. Him,
me,
Matt.
Not Rachel.
Me,
no.
That's mean. Don't say that, Lisa.
I wouldn't kill you.
So I wanted to talk to you. We got a road trip coming up.
Wait. We have Lisa Phillips here from the
we
House
have Lisa,
of Hooligans.
Lisa Phillips. From everybody.
Yeah, she's
from all over the place.
Not true.
You're not from everybody?
I don't go
You're
everywhere.
All things at all points.
I am.
You're the alpha and the omega.
The beginning and the end.
Yes, man.
That's me.
Wow.
All right, so road trip coming up. Give me some info.
Okay, so we haven't had a lot of luck with road trips this year, so we've decided to dump all of our money into one. September 7th, Kansas City.
Yes.
Mark your calendars now,
by the way. Because it's going to fill up fast.
Yes.
It is. Because we are dumping all of our money into it. So it's going to be about a $100 trip, which is cheap.
Well, to get to Kansas City, that's really cheap.
12 hours on a bus, that's about 27 beers.
Yeah.
If
you're
wait. No. 4 beers an hour times 12 hours. That's at least 48.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
My math was bad.
It's okay.
Sorry.
You're a hooligan. We don't do math.
No, we don't do math. We drink.
Yes. Math is for stupid.
Math is for stupid people.
Yes.
Not hooligans.
Yes. I hate math.
And there's Sam.
So, yes, if you want to spend 12 hours on a bus with us, Big Kev and I,
Good
you
God.
Should come. I know, right?
Good God, y'all. When is this going in the inner tweets?
I'm actually looking for a vote, so that's kind of why I'm here tonight. I want to know what everybody wants to do. The match is Saturday at 8:30.
Yeah.
We could leave Friday.
Uh-huh.
We could leave early Friday and be there late Friday, have all day in Kansas City. And then
here we come.
And then, you know, hopefully bring home 3 points and sleep it off on the way home. Or we can leave at about, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And get there early. Pre-game it, see the match, and stay all night. Then Sunday we would have to leave Kansas City by 9 or so to get back here at a decent hour for everybody that has to work on Monday.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking for people to get a hold of Kevin and I and let us know what you want to do. But I don't want to hear from the, you know, keyboard warriors. I want to hear from the people that really are going to go.
Well, here's the one thing that I will say, the plus side of Kansas City. Is that they
Beautiful.
Have the they have the Gaslight District, and the Gaslight District is basically the same thing, but not as cool, but still kind of cool as like Bourbon Street, New Orleans, because you can bring an open container out anywhere in the Gaslight District, and you're fine.
Well, that sounds
they have
that's
they
awesome.
Have like a probably it's about a four square block radius in the center of Kansas City. Where you can, so that's 16 blocks.
No, I was just thinking square radius.
Yeah.
You're really bad at math.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He lost me at
4.
Yeah,
no, you know, Jim Box making fun of me because he's the one that's educated here.
Right.
But you have a whole section of the city of Kansas City where you can go into, and there's a crap load of bars, crap load of nightclubs, whatever, and you can bring your beer outside, and you can do whatever you want. It's actually a really, like, I've been there a couple of times. I've been to a game there once, and quite honestly, It's a really, really fun place to go watch
a
game.
So if we got there Friday night at, say, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, there would be plenty of things to do.
Oh, yeah. No, most definitely. Most definitely.
And our hotel is literally steps from the stadium. Right across the way.
Oh, so it's in Kansas?
Are you Dorothy? What's wrong with Kansas?
Click your heels, Matt.
Everything. Everything's wrong with Kansas. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm just trying to be a jerk.
No,
we're not going
to
have
this. That's actually how you pay for the hotel room, is you shuck corn. That's what you do to pay for the hotel room in Kansas.
Jimmy
and
shuck
their supporters
corn.
Are welcome.
Yeah, look at.
Yeah. Honestly, and I'll say this. I had a great time. In 2008, I went. I tailgated with the Cauldron.
And that was
before the new stadium. It was before the new stadium. It was when they were playing at the ballpark, when they were playing at the Omaha Beef, or not Omaha, Kansas Beef, or whatever it was called. T-Bones. That was what it was. It was the Kansas T-Bones Ballpark. That was the name of the major league or the minor league.
You are
team.
Making that up.
Yeah,
you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not. But no, it was a really good time, and I took second place in their chili cook-off. I seriously did.
What?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Matt goes to Kansas City.
Yeah,
and
for
cooks
a
chili
crew game.
Yeah,
whips up a batch of chili in his hotel room and wins second place.
Right. I actually didn't whip it up in the hotel room. They had an entire RV with a grill set up,
and that's where you whipped it.
That's where I whipped it.
Whip it good.
I whipped it good. I whipped it good. So,
I'm calling malarkey on all
City.
Of those things.
Get a hold of Lisa.
Absolutely. Ladies of the Cauldron, let me just give one quick shout out to them. They've invited us down for a tailgate. They're awesome people.
Of the Cauldron have invited the us.
Grr.
Absolutely. They, you know what?
Grr.
Easy boys. Easy boys.
I can't say much more about that.
Justin just perked up.
I'm taking
my
Justin Bell.
My girlfriend doesn't listen too much to the show, but I can't say much more than that.
He's going to get a haircut.
Justin looks extremely
Justin's
thrilled.
Just chopping on his gum right now.
I know.
You know, just doing his thing.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Lisa.
And I want to hear from everybody.
Wait. How do we get a hold of you?
Oh, HudsonStreetHooligans.com.
Or Twitter.
Magic Pepsi 1968. If you don't know what Magic Pepsi is, you're not invited on the trip.
Fair enough.
Facebook. And, you know, everybody knows me. Come on.
Lisa Phillips.
Everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Lisa Phillips, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for coming on, Lisa.
That's what just happened. Jim Bach needs to come in here right now.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about this. Yeah.
Wait.
Go ahead.
You shut your mouth.
While
we're waiting on Jim.
Yeah.
I do want to thank the cast, the audience of
seriously,
tens
yeah,
that we have
great.
Out here tonight. And I don't know if they're here for us or the Supporter Shield. Either way.
They're here for the Supporter Shield.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they're here. They're buying their $2 drafts. Oh, I'm sorry. They're here for Jim.
Yeah, they're here for Jim.
They're here for Jim.
That's it.
But
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming out. Every Monday night,
I do want to say Masked Juice is here.
Masked Juice
showed up, and honestly, I was really very happy that he got pulled away from the set of Breaking Bad long enough to come out.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I'm really happy about that.
Mask.
Also, how is Malcolm doing? Is Malcolm still in the middle? Is he?
Mask showed up about 10 minutes after I did. Without the mask on.
I know.
And I didn't know who he was.
Uh-huh.
He put his mask on, and I went, oh, hey, what's up? How you doing, Mask? And he's like, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes, man. What's up? How you doing?
That's great. It's hilarious.
It's amazing.
So, Wigan. As we just shift
Wigan,
gears
yes.
here. This is the equivalent of stalling a car out when it's
so
in fourth
Wigan.
Gear. Yeah, this is the equivalent of that. So we're playing Wigan apparently in like less
three
than
and a half
weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah.
We're playing Wigan on July 13th.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
like seriously
for the love of God,
soon.
Why?
Well,
because they agreed to play the Columbus Crew.
Yeah. They did.
I think they agreed to play Pittsburgh, and we were just down the road.
Right.
Yeah. And the rumor is that they're going to follow up with Toronto.
Oh God, seriously.
That's the room. Yeah. I don't
it's
know
like
if that's
the Midwest
terrible.
Misery Wait, Tour at this point.
Is this a championship side padding their schedule against PDL and MLS teams?
Why not? I mean,
it's like that Beatles song, Magical Misery Tour. Is that what it is?
No.
Oh, wait, no.
No, that was the Ruddles Tragical History Tour.
Oh, nice. High yes. five.
Wow.
Sir. Well done.
So that's Jim Bach with the obscure musical reference.
Yes.
I was around when that TV show
hey, Jim.
Aired.
Jim,
yes.
Yo. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Yes.
Get off my lawn.
I just want to say, I lament that Wigan was relegated because the great thing about Wigan was that for anyone who wanted to go and watch a Premier League match, they could always get a ticket for Wigan.
Yeah.
Really, really cheap.
I got cheap tickets for Fulham. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, when I went there, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go way the frick up and beyond Liverpool and go to a Premier League match. That wasn't the thing.
No, you just went to Fulham.
I just went to Fulham because it was in London. And
did you call in a favor?
What's that?
Did you call in a favor?
No.
Are you sure that they just weren't giving you the tickets just so you'd stop talking to them?
That was one of the things. Yeah, that was one of the things. I actually went to a QPR bar accidentally beforehand, and I was just like, I know Gino Padula, and I have to pee.
That was pretty much it. That's my boy right there, Matt Gosher. He goes to a Fulham game, but somehow winds up at a QPR bar.
Yeah. When I got off the tube, I needed to go to the bathroom, and I did not care where I went. And it wasn't going to be in the street.
Well, you're in London, so, I mean, your options are wide open.
Yeah,
so,
okay. pretty much the entire city.
Speaking of Gino Pagula, Gino Pagula was in Roberto Martinez's wedding, and Roberto Martinez is the former manager of Wigan, so it goes full
circle. I think it was the other way around.
There's the crew connection.
It's the other way around.
Roberto Martinez
was in Gino Pagula's wedding?
Yeah.
Well, you would know.
Well, yeah. I was there.
You guys are buddies.
I wasn't there.
You guys are pals.
I have seen the video, though.
You were there when you were 12 years old, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to Gino's house, does he show you vacation slides?
Yeah.
So
he's joking. He's actually
no, serious.
I know. I know he's serious.
Totally
serious. Yeah.
That happens. That happens. I've been over there.
Yes.
I've been over there before.
Yes.
His daughter draws on money. And photocopies of money, but still money. And she's adorable. Yeah. And nothing insulting.
But I notice we're not actually talking about Wigan.
We should talk about Wigan.
So Owen Coyle's the manager now, right?
Who?
Owen Coyle? Owen Coyle is
What I mean is, who is that?
Owen Coyle is the manager of Wigan now.
I think I had to replace an Owen Coyle in my car the other day.
Didn't he manage Hull City down into Championship League a couple of years ago?
You would know.
Well, I would, except I've had four beers, and so I don't remember now.
All I know is Hull City is orange and black.
That is, yes.
He was orange and black, just like the pumpkins. Orange and black, just like the pumpkins.
There you go. But Hull City are actually the natural rivals of Grimsby Town, who are not even in the league right now.
That's a Harry Potter villain.
Are you speaking English?
It's not a real thing.
How do I know that?
No. Are you speaking English? Is Grimsby Town a real thing?
They're the actual other rivals of Hogsmeade FC.
Grimsby Town's not
a real thing. That's not a real thing.
On the classic Elton John album, Caribou, he wrote a song about Grimsby.
No, you're still making things up.
Yeah. No, I really am not.
Yeah, Elton John was just trolling you. I'm just saying. So we're playing Wigan, right?
Are we?
No, we are. It has been confirmed.
By the crew. It was announced by the crew like 2 hours before the Chicago match, too, which was the best press release timing
ever.
It's
like Friday night at 9 o'clock.
We were standing together in the parking lot when I got the press release email from the crew. I was standing there at the Chicago tailgate waiting for the stupid supporter shield to show up because the guy was an hour and a half late to the game. Yeah. Well, they don't have watches in Chicago, or maybe he was still on Central Time. I don't fucking know. In any case. And they sent out the press release at like 5:37 on Saturday night. Yeah. Great media cycle timing right
there. That was amazing. Here's the thing. Over-under on this, because now this is special game A.
Are we talking about attendance or scores?
Both.
Okay.
We're going to talk about attendance first.
Okay.
Over-under on this, because here's the deal. All of the Wigan fans are bent out of shape.
Oh, my God.
We're not very happy
that
they're
all 26,000 are coming over?
Yeah. Yeah, or like 7 of them. Yeah.
No, it's all 19 of them from New York City that know how to get to Ohio. The ones in England are like, Ohio? Isn't that the Japanese word for hello?
Yeah. That's exactly, yeah.
So, what's the over? This is special game A, first of all. So we know that there's going to be a certain amount of season ticket holders who show up just to, I guess, get their money's worth.
Just so they keep up with the
permanent attendance. They're going to get the scarf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a scarf, though?
Probably not.
Well, there's the perfect attendance.
Or is there a wig?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a wig. There's a wig. You get a wig for going to the wigging game.
Sam, I got this one. Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
Yep.
That's honestly the sound effect that I was using the entire time when I talked about the Wigan match being announced on Twitter.
Yes.
That was just sad trombone. Yeah, that's all it is. It's just sad trombone.
That's better.
It's just like, Jesus.
I'm a fan of the prizes, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is what I would like to see over Wigan. Okay? Over Wigan. Any team from any other country other than England.
Let me ask you this. And okay, I know that half of us right now are wearing Serie A shirts. And so I'm not because Justin's wearing an Internazionale shirt and I'm wearing a Napoli shirt.
Yeah, Matt's wearing a band t-shirt. I'm wearing a
Nintendo game t-shirt, so screw you.
But
Jim's got a good point coming
up. A friend of mine had this really great idea that why not every year or every other year or something like that, the Crew play either Sampdoria or Genoa. Because Columbus is named after Christopher Columbus, who's from Genoa. So why the hell don't we play a team from Genoa?
It's an amazing idea.
I've got the answer to this question.
It's a fantastic idea.
I've got the answer to this question.
Because the people who run the Crew are stupid poopy heads?
No. It doesn't have anything to do with poopy heads. It has everything to do with greenback dollars.
Yeah, well, here's my question. Greenback dollars-wise, even though they're in a much lower league at this point, why don't we play Rangers?
Greenback dollars. Because Rangers would command a much higher fee to come
play.
Because
Rangers have an extraordinary inflated sense of pride, yes.
But here's the thing. The last time that we played a team in a friendly that was not a team from England was in 2007.
Who was that?
It was...
In 2007, we played Aston Villa.
No, we
played that
post-season.
Guatemalan team.
Independiente.
Post-season. Yeah. No. Then I forgot about Independiente. That was 2008. 2007, we played a team from Mexico. And I can't even remember what team it was.
No, it was Monterrey.
Was like 2003.
It wasn't Ticos.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we played Ticos in 2007 in November. After the season
was
over.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Because we didn't make the playoffs.
And they had to throw away a match.
Yeah,
they had to throw away a match. And I also realized that I just lied because we played Metapan 2008 preseason. Yep. I forgot about the 2008 Metapan preseason game where it was snowing.
It was freaking cold.
So that was the last time. 2008 was the last time we played anybody outside of England.
This raises some interesting questions, though.
This raises a lot of
questions. In a friend.
Yeah, I mean, it comes up like every year, right? We get the season ticket packages, and they say special game A, sometimes special game B, all of this stuff. And this is what we expect. We're going to have an international friendly that's coming to the stadium.
Like Aston Villa or Newcastle, like a team that people have actually heard of.
Yeah, and we expect this. And I think the Crew expect it too. But we're getting to the point where they need to stop expecting this. What was the argument that was being made earlier this year? Was that, we're trying to get something in some other city at some other big stadium with some big club.
We're going
to
draw a big club and play the game in a bigger stadium.
Oh, so we're going to play Barcelona and Cleveland?
No,
people
were
saying, Real Madrid and Cleveland, or...
Man U and Cincinnati.
Or somebody who, name a club, Chelsea in
Indianapolis. At Lucas Oil.
Why is this your goal? So they were trying from the very beginning of this year to make this thing happen. This is why we end up with Wigan right now. Yeah. I'm not
So
I'm
stupid
not
poopy head is still the answer.
Wigan is Wigan.
No, I'm cool with Wigan.
It's a game, right? It's a game against the
So wait,
English
so you're not coming to my birthday party. You're going to watch Wigan instead.
And Roger Espinosa plays on it, so there's a Columbus.
You're dead to me, Chris.
I'm leaving at halftime.
I'm upset. The thing is, I'm not upset that Wigan is Wigan. And I'm not necessarily upset that we're paying for Wigan to come here. What I am upset at is that is special game A.
What I'm upset is this. I'm upset that the fact that they spent all this time trying to get a big-name team in a big name stadium, some other city than Columbus, Ohio.
Well, here's the thing.
That's what I'm upset about.
I have tickets to go see Chelsea in Indianapolis. They're just not playing the Crew.
They're playing Internazionale.
I know.
So that's why I'm going to that game too.
And here's the
I didn't buy tickets for that from the Crew. Right. Well, so the Crew. Look, the Crew's. This is where a lot of my little angst, about the way that this team's run comes from, is the fact that they don't. It is not pride in the city of Columbus that this organization has. This organization is, for lack of a better word, what a lot of people have been throwing out lately, running a business. And so they want to operate their business and get as much money for what they put out. I have no idea where you got that idea.
But it certainly wasn't from me.
But a lot of people say this over the last... Yeah, including the man to my left. But a lot of people say this, and this is always the default argument. Well,
you know, you have this passion for the team, but what does it get you? Because in the end, it's just a business. Fine, I'll grant you that. But at the same point, you as the sole professional soccer club and franchise in Columbus, Ohio, are you trying to promote soccer in Columbus? And what are you doing to do this? What they were trying to do, let's be very, very clear. What they were trying to do was sell their brand in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do.
I don't have an issue with that, and this is why.
I totally do.
But this is why, and I'll state exactly.
Which of us is not from Ohio?
I'm not.
But okay, here's let it be known on the record that Sammy is not from Ohio.
Sammy's not. Really? Weird. Here's what I'm going to say. I know I'm not. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. But here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say to you, though. And this is my exact point on this, is that I had no less than four groups of friends, when they found out about the Chelsea game at Lucas Oil Stadium, call me and ask me if I was going, and call me and ask if I wanted a ticket with them. My cousins, okay, who have never been to... None of my cousins have ever been to a live soccer match in their entire lives, are going to this game. And here's the deal. Even if they weren't playing Inter, even if it was just Chelsea versus whomever, they would have gone to that match. And if it was Chelsea versus Crew, there is a chance, if the Crew played well and if the Crew, whatever, they may have been inspired to want to come to some games in Columbus. So I don't have necessarily the issue trying to grow the brand in Indianapolis.
Oh my god!
Trying to grow the brand.
I'm sorry, I'm in Justin's camp on this.
Really? Disagree.
Yeah. Really?
So
yes. Wait. Let's stop talking about pipe dreams in Indianapolis.
Let's start talking about growing our brand in Columbus.
Okay,
I don't even care about growing the brand.
To grow our brand in Columbus. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But what I'm saying is that if you have the opportunity to grow your brand in another city,
why don't we grow our brand here first?
Wait. Can I talk to Justin Bell for a second?
Go for it.
Justin Bell.
Chris.
One of your main talking points for this season is that we need to buy better players, right?
No, I think we need to spend our money better and get better players.
Spend the money to get better players.
And then if we find ourselves in a position where we can compete, where our goal is to compete, then we need to,
The crux of that argument is to buy better players.
Right.
In order to buy better players, you need more money, right? Let's say that for this Wigan match, we sell 10,000 tickets at a very, very reasonable price of $25 a ticket. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, that 10,000...
That's 20, not happening.
What the...
No, wait. 10,000...
Wait, you think 25 bucks is a reasonable price for me to watch the Crew play Wigan?
No.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Joe Schmoes from Columbus, Ohio that want to see a British team will pay 25 bucks to see Wigan. If you multiply 10,000 times 25, I'm sorry, 10,000 people times $25 per ticket, that's $250,000. Take out Wigan's fee. Let's say it's 50 grand.
Well, take out the season ticket holders who get this game for free.
No, because they've already paid their money. Let's say that they have already, and they're part of that $250,000.
Okay.
So let's say that even with the season ticket holders, we make $200,000 on this game. Take out the Wigan's fee of 50 grand, and we net 150 from this. That may not be a great player, but that's an extra $150,000 that we can add to the coffer to buy a good player.
I don't think there's any way that the Crew, that HSG, would spend money, that money, on a new player.
All I'm saying is that's more money for the crew.
I understand where you're coming from.
I get where you're
That's not building soccer in this city. And that's the way that you... That's how you get better players.
You build soccer and increasing the ticket base.
I don't know, get people like me to buy another season ticket.
Yes.
So what do you want, HSG to spend more money than the Crew is worth to bring in a Chelsea or a Real?
No. What I want them to do is to be creative. I want them, I don't know, bring in Kaiserslautern.
Wait. Who?
I'm a soccer fan. Sampdoria or Genoa, like he's saying.
Yeah.
Like,
Kaiser Sose?
Kaiser Chiefs? What? Isn't that a band?
Set up a yearly.
I would love to have Kaiser Chiefs come in.
I guess my point is that show soccer people in awesome. This town no. that soccer people are running the club.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, but
yes.
they're not.
That's not how you
yes.
do it. That's not,
not
how you do it.
Yes.
You
well,
bring
that's,
recognizable
that's the problem.
Names.
Well, that's the problem. And that's what that's what Justin and I are saying is that there's no.
I get where you're coming from. I totally do.
Bring
and
in recognizable names.
We're hitting a break right now, so go ahead, Justin. You want the last?
No, Isaac. We can't do that because we've already forfeited to Ohio State and the Columbus Blue Jackets all of sports. We yep. forfeited it. That's when you go and talk to these people, that's their first thing. We can't do it because, well, there's Ohio State and, well, because there's the Blue Jackets.
You're making Jim sad, Jim.
I know.
Well,
but okay. That's what they say. Like, you and I, we don't agree with that. You and I, we have a different approach to this.
I don't agree with that either.
But that's who we're arguing.
Yeah, but well, you're not wearing a cool shirt like we are.
Well, I'm wearing an amazing shirt. I don't know. River City Ransom is an awesome video game. Anyway, we're going to come back and we need to talk some Kansas City. It's coming up here in just a second. This is the Massive Report. To me, as if to say, hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Going. It's the Massive Report, segment 4. Welcome to it. Live at Hendocks, $2 pints every single. Wow, what just happened there? Chris just blasted a flash.
I flashed
everybody. You. Yeah, you flashed me. That's not nice. I don't like that. That makes me sad in my face. A lot of things to talk about this segment. First of all, and really only of all, we can play Kansas City on Saturday.
That we do.
Yeah, we do. And for the love of God, seriously, Kansas City 6-5-5 for the season. I guess really at the end of the day, because I don't know if any of us, you can stop me if you disagree, but does anybody have a lot of confidence about this match? I guess that's the first question.
No.
Okay. Chris, go ahead.
I was looking for the appropriate Robert Warzea quote.
Yeah.
Justin, go ahead while I find it.
Yeah, we could win this.
We could.
We totally could win this.
What do we have to do to win this?
You know what? Play like we played this
we
past week.
Well, let's just
play like we did the week
finish.
Before this.
Yeah.
And just get a goal.
Or what you're saying is get lucky.
No,
get
lucky. It's really not. You know, think about the amount of shots on goal that we had in this past match, and just consider where they were when they were on goal. Most of them were at Sean Johnson, and so if one or two of these shots are, you know, at Nielsen and he,
all right, I'm gonna
goes
bring,
cross-eyed for
I'm
a second, then maybe we get a goal. I don't
bring
know.
Anything can happen
real quick.
Yeah, anything can happen.
I'm gonna bring some stats into this situation. Chicago,
bad teams step up for good. When they're playing good teams.
Oh, dear God. Chicago, we have 9 shots on goal. We lose 2-1. Montreal, we have 4 shots on goal. We win 2-0.
Yep, exactly.
Philadelphia, we have 4 shots on goal. We lose 3-0. Houston, we have 6 shots on goal. We draw 1-1. New York, we have 2 shots on goal. We draw 2-2. So, shots on goal, not so much a barometer in this team.
So, I'm going to go ahead and quote Robert Warzea.
Oh, God.
Regarding the next game, I think there's always the next game. It's against Sporting Kansas City.
Of course there's always the next game.
It's against Sporting Kansas City.
That's what happens in a chronological perspective.
There's a give and take. We have to win the game in Kansas City, and it'll probably even up.
Wow.
He's seriously.
It'll
he's,
probably
go
even
home,
up.
Bob, you're drunk.
It'll probably even up.
Oh my god.
It'll probably even up. Thanks, Sam. I mean, I could go on with these.
How
quotes.
Long? How long does this? I guess the first question, and I'm gonna voice this to Larry because he's the voice of reason with this whole thing. But Larry, how long does this comedy of errors continue?
You mean being average?
Yeah. No, that's what I mean.
It continues on through the end of the year.
Really?
And if Warzea gets a new contract, it continues on through next year.
Why do you break
that's
my
a
heart
long time.
Like, why you gotta break my heart like that?
Well, it depends on how you feel about average.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it.
No?
No, not a fan.
I mean, going into a game against Kansas City, do you want to feel like you want to win? Or do you want to feel like you might get a result, a draw, something like that?
Look at our last five games. I don't want to get a result. I want to win.
I think it's they're going in for a result.
Yeah. No, hey, I know they are.
I think Justin might agree with me on this.
Hey, wait. I need to quote Robert Warzea again in regards to what Larry just said. Quote, sometimes the fortune is not going right.
That sounds like something I got with my Chinese food on
Did he
Saturday.
Say that?
Yeah.
Sometimes the fortune is not right.
Wow.
He's right.
Wow.
What do you? I mean, you know, when you, what you do is you put your best players on the field, and sometimes the balls go in the net, and sometimes they don't.
I put the players on the field. I think we're going to win the game.
This is where we're at, because we can't go out and buy Frank Lampard to come to play for the Columbus Crew.
Yeah, we can't.
Well, we can't.
We should be able to. I mean, I think we have the money to go out and spend on a player like that, but we're not going to. It's just not going to happen. And so, the players that we have, thank you, Lisa. The players that we have are really. I think we could be coached. They could be coached much, much better.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the things that we saw in this past match were problems where players. Are not used to playing with each other and aren't being coached in a way where they can link up passes, for instance, or they know who's going to cover a man who runs off of them. I mean, there are things that are basic that I think this coaching staff lacks. But there's an element when you're playing up against a team that is as good as you,
yeah,
where. There is an element of which calls you get, for instance.
Yeah.
What referee is going to call what penalty kick for you or against you? What linesman is going to call a poor offside call? I mean, there's basic things that you just can't control. And I think Robert's problem is that he puts so much weight on those things.
He does.
That he almost feels like he's powerless against those things.
I've got another quote.
That's an enormous mistake.
Chris has another quote.
I've got another quote. excuse me. Quote, so I'm not looking for a number of changes because I don't have the players. I don't have a player to replace Chad Marshall or Josh Williams.
Yeah, I thought right. That was...
And when we look at, for instance, the substitutions that happened last week, I think we all were in agreement that the substitutions came very late in that match. But the problem is this. So what happens when you're looking for a goal in the 70th minute and the options that you have on your bench are Aaron Schoenfeld and Justin Marin? Those are your attacking options. And the people that you have on the field are basically doing their job, which is playing defensive midfield responsibly and holding their defensive line in the back four. Which one of those players do you take off for a player who is probably not going to do much for you?
Well,
I mean, I really can't fault him for not taking off making those substitutions.
Larry, before you answer, do you want to hear the Robert Warzea quote?
Go for it.
The Robert Warzea quote is, you have to take one player off the field, so obviously you don't want to take a forward off because you want to score a goal.
Right. He's right. I mean, which player are you going to take off? Arrieta? For Schoenfeld? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Arrieta was very busy.
Analytical thoughts here.
Is this about how many goals get scored towards the end of the game?
Yeah, let's see.
Well, I mean, I think one of the changes that Warzea has made this year is, I last year, over a third or around a third of the game, the goals that were scored were scored in the last 15 minutes against the Crew. And I think that freaked them out a little bit, and so they're not making changes until really late in the game. And it has changed how many goals have been scored. They're not getting scored on late.
Yeah.
And so you, if you put Arrieta in there in a midfield role or something like that, you're sort of burning through. If he's not getting goals in the first 75 minutes, you burn through him. He doesn't have the legs or whatever left because he's a forward playing in a midfielder role.
Yeah.
It's something really foreign to him. And so if he's tracking back, getting a lot of balls, he's not going to be able to score in the last 15 minutes. And if Schoenfeld and Miram are your only options on the bench to try to come back if you're down a goal just to get a point.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
It wasn't even Miram. Miram wasn't on the bench. It was Schoenfeld or Ethan Finley.
No, Miram came in the game.
Miram did come in the game. But it's Schoenfeld or Ethan Finley or Justin Miram.
They just don't have any options. All their goal-scoring options are on the field when they started the game. And they might as well not have done anything.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, why make any changes? Because it's not going to improve your situation. And that's the situation they put themselves in when they're playing this type of tactical formation. You know, they're burning through Arrieta or Odoro as they were, you know, in the right midfield spot. And they don't have anything left at the end of the game to get that extra punch.
Yeah.
To get a goal late or something like that.
The one substitution that I think should have been made earlier was obviously Sanchez, because Sanchez was on a goal.
I do want to talk about this.
He was on a yellow card suspension. Yeah. He got another yellow card, and Matias Sanchez has a problem. His problem is that he's an Argentine Danny O'Rourke, and Danny O'Rourke has been in the league for a long time, so he knows these referees, and he knows what he can get away with.
Yeah.
Matias Sanchez does not.
Has no idea,
and you can see like Danny O'Rourke's frustration with Matias Sanchez, which is really interesting because they're basically the same player
in a lot of
regards.
They're very close to the same player.
And so, like what you saw happening before Matias Sanchez got his yellow card was Danny O'Rourke and a few of the other players kind of telling him to zip it, just like kind of cool it. And then he kept chirping, he kept arguing. There was a moment where he ran up on a linesman, and I was, what are you doing? This is you blatantly tackled this guy. He should have probably gotten a yellow card for the tackle.
Yeah.
But what he did was he did get a yellow card for a tackle eventually. It was almost like persistent infringement. But what happened, he should have been subbed off well before that, that foul.
But for who?
Well, exactly.
And so
I can understand why he was not.
But does this matter? Who cares?
Wait. Yeah, the point, is that Daniel O'Rourke and three other guys and everyone in attendance saw that Matias Sanchez was running his mouth too much and told him to shut the crap up. But Robert Warzia did not see that and did not take him off before he got himself into yellow card trouble.
See, he's a better player, though, than Aaron Schoenfeld, and he's a better player than Justin Merrim, and he's a better player than Conrad Warzia.
I would still take him off. To protect him for the Kansas City game, I would still take him off and put Conrad in because we need him for Kansas City. I would rather have him available for Kansas City than not.
But who comes in now?
So I would put Conrad in all day long, twice on Sundays.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it really puts the crew in a situation. That's one of the reasons why they probably should have subbed him out.
No, I realize.
Because it puts the crew in a really tough spot.
Yes, because rather than going 35 minutes with Conrad Arzia, we have to go 90 minutes with Conrad Arzia. Because who do you get to fill his spot for the Kansas City game? We're not going to play with one holding midfielder. We're going to play with two. So that means we're playing with Tony Chani or Conrad Arzia beside Danny O'Rourke.
Yeah.
I would rather have...
I would rather have
25 minutes of Conrad than 90, especially against Graham Zuzzi.
They have a whole lot more.
You know what I'm saying?
Graham Zuzzi. I mean, Conrad for his first game going against Kansas City.
Yeah, and
you know
Conrad is going to start this game because Tony Chani, because of the missed PK in the reserve match, is in the doghouse. He didn't even make the 18 for this game. Yeah. Tony Chani is screwed. As far as Robert Warzia is concerned.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a Conrad start, which I'm okay with. Conrad's a good enough player. It's not about his last name. It's about the fact that he's not an awesome player.
He's fine, yeah.
Right. So we're looking at a Conrad start. I would rather have...
who we have.
Right.
Yeah.
I would rather have Conrad for 25, 30 minutes this past Saturday against Chicago than Conrad for a full 90 or 60 against KC. Yeah. He is going to get torn apart.
Who?
Conrad is going to get torn apart.
He will. Yeah.
He will.
Against Kansas City. If they
but,
have to start
but we
Conrad.
Don't have any other options.
Right. And that's really that's part don't. Of the problem. It's like Barson at right back.
Yes.
Yeah. What exactly. other options do we have? And he said it in his quote. Mm-hmm. Josh Williams and Chad Marshall, he said there's no other options behind right. you know behind those guys.
There really are.
He's dismissing Gehrig and Kevin George.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. yeah. you know yeah. the thing is like you know it might not, you know, after watching Barson last game making Joel Impair look like a
God.
World beater.
Right.
Yeah.
It might not be such a bad thing to put Marshall or Williams back over there and put someone else in the center.
Eric Gehrig. Yeah. Danny O'Freaking Rourke, who
it's
has
not like,
experience.
It's not like Eric Gehrig did not show that he's completely capable.
Yeah.
Center
Eric Gehrig was
amazing. Four games in a row.
And they need somebody competent at right back. And I'm not saying that Barson isn't competent.
But Barson is no Josh Williams.
Gehrig is competent. Yeah.
But Josh
he may not be the best
right.
player.
But
every single week, but he's confident, and he has, I think he has that X factor.
It's all about stones.
Yeah, he has the balls.
Yeah.
He has the balls to do it.
Yep.
All right, so we gotta go to score predictions here because we're about ready to roll.
Wait, let me just double check. We're at Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say 2-0 to Kansas City.
Fair enough. Justin.
Well, we beat them there last year.
Well.
And they had a pretty good line up at that point.
Yeah.
I'm going to say we get a draw out of this.
All right.
Wait.
Score?
What numbers?
Yeah. I'm going to say 0-0. Nil.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 3-3.
Nil draw. Larry, what do you think?
Very important game, especially since Philly has moved up the table and the Crew have to win this game, but I don't think they have it in them. I think they get a point out of this one.
You get a point?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. My thought, honestly, 1-0 loss. I think it's the first time I've predicted that in a long time. Sam, what do you think?
3-1 KC.
Wow.
All
right, that's Sam's thoughts on it. So for everybody here, Larry Johnson, Sam Fahmy, Chris Lamacchia, Justin Bell, Steve Cirk, the Cavalcade of Millions, Lisa Phillips, who did an awesome job, Jim Bach, who did an amazing job at everything. Check out the Yellow Pages, by the way. Grab a copy at your favorite place. I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everyone. This is the Massive Report.